Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Oh, thank you for that. A big show today and 14 guests. And let's just get things started. The first hour on Fridays, we are always so excited to have our film critic buddy Jan Wall with us. How are you, Jan?
Hey, Rick. How you doing, man? I am so excited to tell you about the most amazing film that stars Malcolm X and Sam Cooke. And Jim Brown and the great well, in those days he was Cassius Clay, but we now know him as the great Muhammad Ali. So I'm going to be telling you about that. Yeah,
we will definitely get to that after our guests. But let's start off with our first guest, and that is film director Ualid Mouanes, and he is here to talk about his new film called 1982, and this is from Lebanon. Ualid, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Already I'm interested because 1982, I was a senior in high school, so I'm already interested. Tell us about the plot, please.
Plot. Year is, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be calling in from Beirut.
Great.
Yes. It's basically a love story about an 11-year-old boy has a crush on a girl. The year is 1982. It is autobiographical. It's the end of the school year, and Lebanon has been reading from a wall for like 6 years. But on that particular day, the Israeli invasion arrives in Beirut, even though the school is safe in the mountains, and the boy just wants to get to the girl, really. So, and it's sort of a love triumphs of a war sort of narrative that for me is very important, and it has a strong message of peace. So,
oh, that's wonderful. What is it that makes it specifically a Beirut story, other than, I mean, it sounds like very universal.
100%.
Feeling of love and yearning and wanting to be with the, especially when you're young like that, but yet there's an ethnic quality, right?
There is an ethnic quality in that it takes place in an unexpected environment that's usually not represented very much and not shown to the world, which is the, you know, in every, there's a lot of wars in the world that happen everywhere, and wherever it is, we always tend to forget the people that are living under the war, that are not participating in these wars. And this is what this film is about. This film is about the people who really love life, are trying to live, are trying to love, and then the disruptive aspect of war. The story itself is very, very universal in that this could happen in any country where there's a war. As a matter of fact, when you even in the U.S., if like we were screening it sometime last year, and there was like a shooting not very far away from a school, and it was just very traumatic even for us to think about this because we care, and people are the same, and people feel the same everywhere in the world. People want to love, people want to live, people want to feel safe. So
Yes, and I also think about how Americans, especially my age, when we think of Lebanon, we think about the 1983, of course. I have a friend who lost a father when those Marines were bombed in the terrorist attack. And then, of course, you have this John Hamm movie a couple of years ago. But if you go back in the history, I think about that green cedar on the flag. It really is a beautiful country, and I think it's important that people know more about Lebanon than just the Marine Corps bombing.
And this is very much also what I try to do with my work as a filmmaker, is to show Lebanon for really what it is, because I mean, it's, the country as a whole is very educated. People love education. People are progressive. It's multicultural. The school that I went to as a kid was a Quaker school, so it was very mixed. Religion didn't matter because everybody had to accept everybody else. This is an image that is never shown. And for me, mm-hmm. I've worked in Los Angeles for years and years and years. And this is the first time I go and make a Lebanese film. And that film just took me back to my childhood and to the way I grew up. It's like, we can all love each other. And it's a beautiful mm-hmm. country. And
just to piggyback on that, you know, Steve Kerr is a big celebrity in the United States in the Bay Area because he's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And his dad, Malcolm Kerr, was born, raised, and was murdered in Beirut when he was American president of the university there. And it just, when you said they're very educated people, it just reminded me of all the university he had here, and it is something that it's taken quite. I went to college with a guy from Lebanon. They do seem like more than most Americans to be pretty educated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is very important, and the film sort of takes place in a school environment. I mean, for us, my parents, it was like schooling was everything. Like, this is the one right. thing that you could definitely inherit. No one can ever take it from you. And what's really insane about wars nowadays is some of the first victims of wars are actually schools and kids. So there is miseducation that happens. And in this case, in the case of 1982, I mean, our schooling was disrupted. And thankfully, I managed to get on, but there are other schools that didn't make it to the next year. So this is really... it highlights how important education is, not only for, you know, it's education is so important, I think, for peace building as well. And this is one of my mm-hmm. missions in my work, honestly. So, yeah.
And on a whole different level for Beirut and Lebanon. So my mom went to Beirut a few times, and I'll tell you what she loves so much, aside the education aspect and the Jewish aspect. I mean, it's really terrific, all the things she would come back about Beirut. But the nightclubs, she really liked the nightclubs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is there anything like that now there?
Yes. It's still, I mean, now clearly with COVID and with everything that's going on, it's less so. But before all of this, it's still very much a nightclub and party town, and people love to live, and the restaurants are quite competitive. It never really changed. I think there's a thing about Lebanon, and it's about the zeal and the will to live and to outlive life, you know? And I think part of it is how difficult our history has been and how polemic it's been and how controversial it's been. And yet the Lebanese people, in spite of everything, sort of still kind of have hope. And with this uh-huh. film, I kind of wanted to portray that. Like, we go through a traumatic day, but then there's the matters of daily life that really matter, you know, and they keep uh-huh. us going. Because otherwise, without hope, we have nothing. And
right.
That's what I tried to show with this film. At the end, it's like, you know what? Hope will come with the new generation. If a generation mm-hmm. fails, hope falls on the next generation. And then there is, I'm very hopeful right now, even though Lebanon's going through a very tough time, we're very hopeful that it will rise and the new generation will pick up and recreate an even better country than the country we've inherited.
Yes, and hey, Phoenician times as well. It's just absolutely incredible the amount of history coming from that area. We've been speaking with director Walid Moanis. The film sure. is called 1982. It is available now, video on demand, courtesy of Utopia. It is the winner of the Toronto International Film Festival. And also, this is Lebanon's entry for Best Foreign Language Film for the Academy Awards. As
Yay.
Well. Walid, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on the film.
Congratulations.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having us. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
Okay, no doubt about it. And Jan and I will be right back, and we have another director producer for you right here on Sports Byline.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. That's 800-410-4771. We are the Debt Destroyer Network. Any debt you have, credit card, tax, student loan debt, call now for free information that helps you destroy your debt. It's great advice. Plus, when you make this free call now, we have debt destroyer experts ready to help. They can show you how to destroy your debt and get your life back on track. Debt problems don't have to be overwhelming. You can live stress-free and debt-free. Credit cards, medical bills, IRS tax problems, even student loan debt. Learn about free programs offered by the credit card companies, hospitals, and even the government that can help slash your debt. Call the Debt Destroyer now for free information. Call now. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. 877-360-0402. That's 877-360-0402.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm not insightful enough to be a movie critic. Maybe I could be a food critic. These muffins taste bad. Or an art critic. That painting is bad.
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
Oh, whatever works. Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Jan Wall, film critic, with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Hollywood veteran filmmaker James F. Robinson, and he is the director and producer of a film called Tinsel, The Lost Movie about Hollywood. This sounds perfect for you, Jan. It is a
Oh, it totally
picture.
Is.
Hello.
Totally. Hi.
Let's talk about, just from looking at the art, I'm seeing all these movie stars. What does that mean, the lost movie about Hollywood, James?
Well, 30 years ago, I made a documentary about why we love movies. That was the goal, to try to figure out what this, the power of this art form had on people. And we went and we made this documentary. We traveled across the United States, and we did a lot of shooting in Los Angeles and at the Oscars and talked to a lot of people. And then we couldn't release the movie because I put all these film clips in it, and we couldn't we couldn't sell the movie for more than we had the tens of thousands of dollars we had to buy the film clips. So the film got kind of shelved, and then the film lab went out of business, and they threw all the negative away. So the film was really lost for a long time until we discovered a videotape of it. And then I decided it was kind of like this time capsule that I think a lot of, you know, a movie geek and movie nerds love to see. So I repackaged it and kind of reformatted into something that we can see in our streaming age.
Ugh, it is so great, James. This is Jan Wall, and I have been pushing
this
thing like crazy. This is for everybody. It's not just film nerds and film geeks, even though I'm both of those things. It's not just that. It's for anybody who's ever had a movie speak directly to their heart and to their mind. You know, it's all of us. And, like, I just did a thing about movies about stutterers because of Biden taking over. And I did The King's Speech, and I did Music Man because a little boy stutters in that. And it's just, I mean, everything. Right now I'm doing one on powerful women because of Harris. And, I mean, there's so many movies that remind us that it's a way to speak to us. And this movie that you've made really talks to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it's an amazing thing, these motion pictures and what they do to us. You know, as I was thinking last night about talking to you guys, and I think part of the magic of movies is it takes a three-dimensional world and puts it in a flat two-dimensional world. There's something incredibly powerful about that, especially if you're in a movie theater. That's why I think 3D movies never took off and never seemed to work, because there's something, I'll figure it out someday, but something magical about an image, a world placed into a rectangle in a dark room.
Go ahead, sorry. Well, I was just going to say, what about on the small screen now where we have to see so much? Does that pertain to that as well?
Well, I think, of course, some people have TVs the size of, you know, a small car. The film is a little poignant in terms of this place we are right now, which is an absolute major upheaval in motion pictures and how we consume them. I mean, people are watching three times as many movies as they used to, but of course they're seeing them in their home, sometimes under very good situations. So, the film is a little nostalgic about, you know, Martin Landau talks about being in a room with 1,000 people, you know, seeing a story on the screen in front of you. And, but I think certainly movies are extremely powerful, you know, whether it's a screen in your home or in a dark room. Also bad movies are still bad movies, no matter where you see them.
And you think about 1992, for nostalgia's sake, there's no internet, there was no social media. So when you went out to talk to these people, movies were still, you know, outside of renting them on VHS, it was more of a communal type of thing, as we were talking about.
That's right, Rick. It was so amazing back then. We were outsiders. I lived in Texas at the time. We just called up the Academy and said, hey, we're making a movie. Can we come and shoot the Academy? You know, stars walking in, and there was no problem. There was no metal detectors. People would just come, wander in, and sit in the stands and sleep there the night before. I don't know how we got into Entertainment Tonight. I mean, it was a different world. And like you said, if you wanted to see a movie again, there was this brand new technology called the video cassette. And you could actually buy a movie and watch it over and over if you wanted to. That had never been possible in the history of the cinema until that time.
What's the film that changed your life?
Wow. Well,
first
several,
one that comes to mind, James. First one.
Well, I would say It's a Wonderful Life, probably.
Ah, there we go. Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to go on and make a long list, but forget that. What was yours?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Harold and Maude. And then,
right.
Because I'm an eccentric woman. And then also the movie Network, because it's so prescient, you know, it was so real. And it stays real. So those two films, I think.
Both of those films are just top-notch writers, directors. I mean, I saw Harold and Maude again just this year because I've been catching up on a lot of movies. And one thing that struck me is how impossible a studio for a studio to make that movie today. Of course, there's a long list of movies they don't make anymore. But that was, and the studio was afraid to release it. I did a little research on it. You know, they thought it was just too much.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I'd have to say the movie that changed my life was Police Academy 5.
Well, that's
is that the one where O.J. Simpson gets ejected out of his wheelchair in Dodger Stadium or something?
Well, listen, this is zappictures.com. This has been, it's won so many awards. It's been selected at so many film festivals. And it's the film that keeps on giving. How do we check this out, James?
In the U.S. and Canada, it's on, I know you have an international audience, it's on Amazon, and it just got on IMDb TV, like a few days ago. It's also on something called Tubi TV, which is a new network that's really popular. And then in a lot of other countries around the world, it is on Amazon Prime.
Can you tell us a little bit about The Little Kite before you go?
The Little Kite is a movie I've been trying to make for 5 years. Believe it or not, the nomination of Donald Trump and that whole thing back in 2016 caused this reaction in my brain. I had been to Guatemala and researching a project years and years ago with the Mayan people down there, and I wrote this script about this. It was really kind of inspired by the bicycle thieves and former flows. I like the idea of having a child as a protagonist. And I was also very concerned about how I lived, Americans lived, and what we thought about, and how we stared at our phones 24 hours a day. And these people in these Mayan indigenous people in Guatemala, it's like going back in time, you know, several thousand years. And I wanted to write a story, not about oppression or civil war or genocide or any of those things that you usually hear in that part of the world, but something about the resilient spirit and so forth. So I've been trying, I'm still trying to make that film, but that's a short capsule of what it's about.
One last question for you. When I look at the interviews that you did for this film, the name that really pops out to me is my dad's all-time favorite, Sid Caesar. What was it like to talk to Sid?
We were lucky to get into the Writers Guild Awards, and then while they're having the awards, these guys are just wandering around who are going to go on later. That's how we got Beau Bridges. But Sid Caesar, I remember we got him to sit down for a minute, and I couldn't I was so excited, of course. And we didn't ask him the normal kind of interview questions. We asked him what he thought of movies and so forth. And he has a really interesting comment in the movie about if you're famous, what that means and what that the demands that's on you as a human being. He was it was so great to see the inside of people sometimes if you don't ask them the same standard questions.
Right.
There he is, James F. Robinson, Hollywood vet, director and producer of Tinsel, the lost movie about Hollywood. As he mentioned, it's on Tubi, it's on Amazon TV. As well, IMDb TV. You can go to zappictures.com for more information. James, thanks so much for being on the show. Congratulations on resurrecting this gem here.
Thank you for making this fabulous.
Thank you, Jan. You guys are great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. And, Jan, this movie was made for you, huh?
It was. I just went crazy for it. I mean, really. It's wonderful. I mean, it's everything you want to know about why movies matter.
It's great stuff. And for me, I always wonder why I can't read a novel because I know it's fake. But yet, even though I know a movie's fake, I can still get into it. I don't know why that is, but it's just the way it is. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll keep it going. The Hollywood stuff. We got some more big shots on the other side. None bigger than Jan Wall. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.
Pros bring something extra to every job. Now at the Home Depot, they also get something extra. Pro Extra, our free loyalty program built for pros just like you. Members earn perks with every dollar spent. like Pro Extra Dollars, a tool rental credit, and more. New members get $20 off their next in-store purchase of $200 or more just for signing up. Learn more at homedepot.com/proextra. New year, more rewards, Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Now you can make your home look great and save money. Right now, when you call Renewal by Anderson, you can buy four windows and get the fifth one free. Plus, you get 12 months with no interest, no money down, and no payments. Upgrade your home. Buy four windows and get the fifth one free. Installation and warranty are even included. And the Renewal by Anderson certified retailers take every safety precaution to protect you and your family. Hey, for 25 years. People have trusted Renewal by Anderson for their window replacement needs, and you can too. So call right now. Don't wait. Learn how to get your free window when you buy four.
800-413-6992. 800-413-6992. That's 800-413-6992.
Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid in full within 12 months. Other conditions apply. We've adjusted our operations to serve you safely following all CDC guidelines. Visit renewalbyanderson.com for details.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
What's in store this week at Staples?
Printing you new signs for the times.
Get back to business with custom printed signs and sales materials. Staples has hundreds of designs to choose from, or just upload your own.
And now at Staples, get 25% off custom flyers, brochures, postcards, or labels when you spend $70 or more.
Some items printed same day when ordered before 2 p.m.
Save big on custom printing at Staples. Ends 2/27. Exclusions apply. Limit one offer per customer. See store associate or visit staples.com/custom prints for details.
You spent over a decade in the Middle East, and I just wanted to say that I'm a great fan of your work.
Well, thank you very much.
Don't interrupt me, please. Thank you. What did I just say? Do you know who I am?
You must be crazy. Use a D-O-G. And if you was my man, I would have been kicked you out of my house by now. This is what had happened.
All right. Thank you for that. What was that all about? Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you along with Jan Wall. And we're quite happy now to be joined by a couple of filmmakers. Live from England, it's Luke Bradford, the writer-director of the new film White Gold, and the producer Jackie Shepherd as well. Welcome to the program. We appreciate it. Luke, let's start with you. Just a quick thumbnail on the plot behind White Gold, if you could.
Sure. It's it focuses on a woman with albinism who has lost an arm to a witch doctor in a vicious attack, and she is on a quest to seek her revenge from the witch doctor that has committed this crime on her.
Did you say, it sounded like you said Calvinism.
Albinos.
Albinos. I'm sorry.
Albinism, yes.
Okay.
So in parts of Africa, there is a widespread belief through the practice of witchcraft that body parts of people with albinism infused in potions and then consumed will bring prosperity and good luck. As heinous as that sounds, it is true today.
So, Jackie, tell us about producing a film like this. What were some of the challenges? Because this is, you know, so many movies are cookie cutter. I've never heard of a movie like this one.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the really important thing for us was that we were telling a story that is important. It's something for people that people don't necessarily,
okay, I'm not doing that.
They're not aware of what's going on.
Oh,
so people don't understand that people with albinism live in fear every day of their lives because of this. And so it was really important to us to be able to tell this story. And actually it was, you know, really not that difficult to make it in Africa. There were lots of people who were very supportive of us as a project. And, you know, it's just, we tried to make a film. Well, we did make a feature film about 10 years ago about some children that walked across Africa. And at that point, when we first wrote the script, we made a film with 5 children. The original script had 7 children. And one of the issues that we were raising there was one of the children was a child with albinism, but we had to drop him at script stage. But we really then, 10 years ago, wanted to raise this issue. And it's just extraordinary to me today that in the 21st century, people still have these crazy notions and beliefs, and that because of that, these people live in fear.
Well, if you can convince people that an election was rigged, I think you can convince them of anything. It's a horrible, horrible story. But, Luke, this is also a story of revenge. Am I not right?
Well, what happens in the story is our lead character, Manza, played by Rafoe Modisela, who's Africa's first ever successful model with albinism. She is on a quest, really, to to find the person that did this to her. I mean, that's the main thread of the narrative, but there is quite a twist that I don't want to give it away, but her character definitely evolves.
And you said she's the first model to be successful that has this?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. So she has had a very successful career in modeling and now acting. And what makes her particularly unique is she's Africa's first ever successful model with albinism. So she has quite a profile, in particularly in South Africa.
Jackie, wow. Where did this script, I mean, obviously Luke is going to pen it, but when you first heard about it, you know, what's that collaboration like as you've known both of you? You guys have been friends for so long.
Well, Luke, actually, Luke and I haven't known each other for that long, although it feels like quite a long time, because when you share these experiences, you become quite close. Because we have a very, it is a very shared experience, and because it's important, the subject matter is important to us, it really does bring you together. But Luke, actually, he's better placed to tell you the backstory to why he wanted to tell this film. And he pitched it to something called the Pitch Film Fund, which my producing partner and I are consultants to. And as soon as I first heard his pitch, it just brought back those memories of trying to tell this story 10 years previously and thinking, that's the story I would love to tell. It's one of those things that gets you in the gut. It's a kind of instinctive thing where you just know, yeah, that's a story that's worth telling. But Luke's the best man to tell you why he wanted to tell that story.
Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, sure. So in 2017, I was self-shooting a documentary in Tanzania about a missionary couple from Texas who had set up a sustainable farm in Tanzania. And part of their work was an outreach program for people with albinism. There's an estimated 50,000 people living with albinism in Tanzania, and they have many, many social difficulties and needs. And part of that is the persecution that we're talking about. And so part of my documentary became filming this community. And I met a girl who had tragically lost both of her arms to a witch doctor. She'd been held down in her own home and had her arms hacked off. And she fortunately survived that attack. And I was interviewing her, and that encounter with this this young lady really stuck with me. I just couldn't get it out of my head. And so what I'm trying to do with White Gold is leave audiences feeling how I felt as I was driving away from that encounter with that lady. Because I feel like if audiences feel how I felt, that we are then best placed to try and make an impact and ultimately stimulate some positive change.
Wow. Rick, can I just say something? Because I'm being unusually quiet because this is blowing my mind away here.
Yeah, just horrible.
I know. Man. But first of all, real quickies. Is it offensive to say albino? And also, in American films, and British films as well, albinos have been demonized, I mean, constantly. So could you just comment on those two things?
Absolutely. So the term albino is in some parts deemed derogatory. And so it's a term that we try to avoid, and it was actually our lead actress, Rafilwe, that kind of educated us on that. So we refer
to the
community as people with albinism. And with regards to representation of people with albinism on the screen, you're absolutely right. Historically, in Hollywood, in all films, people with albinism tend to be cast as the villains or the freaks
absolutely.
In a sci-fi movie. And I could actually only find one other movie that was depicting people with albinism with a positive slant, you know, from their perspective. So I was so super keen to make this film from the eyes of somebody living with that condition.
And Jackie, Luke mentioned, Rafilwe Motacel, she's a fascinating story for someone born with albinism in Soweto, and not just a model, but a talented singer. And you guys know how hard it is to act. I mean, she really is a talented person.
She was amazing. And to be honest, because, we're not living in South Africa, so we were unaware of just how big she is in South Africa. She has a huge Instagram following, all of that kind of thing. And I know as soon as Luke saw her tape, because she auditioned for the part, which was amazing when we discovered how well known she was. And she was just fantastic, and she brought everything to it. And when people see it, and when you see Rafilwe in person, and then you see how she really puts herself out there in the film, it's an extraordinary performance.
What's your distribution like?
Luke, do you want to
okay,
say what
so,
the film is?
Yeah, so people can see the film on Vimeo at the moment. It is, if you were to search for White Gold award-winning short film, you would be able to find it. But there are a number of festivals coming up in the States, Santa Fe Film Festival, and shortly after that, the Halifax Black Film Festival as well. So there's a number of places that people can see the film.
Well, I just want to say congratulate. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, well, I was just going to say it's been doing well in festivals. So its very first festival outing, which was the Pan African, which is the biggest black film festival in the US, it won the best short film. So, you know, people are very moved. And, you know, when they see it, I think, yeah, people, I mean, Jan, I think your response when you just went, oh, just now when Luke was talking, that's people are just really quite shocked by the fact that this goes on. So the more we can educate people.
I mean, you're providing new information, new insight, and complete outrage. So, I mean, what a great movie making, thing to do.
It's important to tell these stories, and film is such a great medium for doing that. So, and we appreciate you giving us the time to talk about it.
Yes, and by the way, the Santa Fe Film Festival will be February 17th through 21st. If you want to check it out, the film is called White Gold, and we have been speaking with Luke Bradford, the writer and director, and Jackie Shepherd. And I hope you guys are all doing well in the UK. I was just there about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. I miss it. I wish I could come back, but until then, Thank you for your time. Congratulations on the film.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Rick. Thank you.
All right. Great stuff. Jan, we'll take a quick break here, and you've got some recommendations on the other side.
I got to calm down.
All right. We will try to calm down and come on back on Byline.
Mom and Dad are such a loving pair, but the house where they bump when the tempers flare. They promise to those tales get to the part. I wonder if my parents will ever be apart. My mommy's job is a knife. I thrill to see her and that is life. When daddy swings a gun.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real healthcare for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable healthcare for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly healthcare payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current healthcare. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based healthcare benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906. 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
I'm just a caveman. Your world frightens and confuses me.
Rick Tittle wants to hear from you. The phone call is free, y'all. Just dial 1-800-878-PLAY to get yourself on the air right now. Call him up now, lazy ass. 1-800-878-PLAY.
But I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy.
I'm just thirsty. Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
All right, a little from kicking and screaming there. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you with Jan Wall. And Jan, what do you like? What should we be watching?
Well, right now you should be watching called, well, first of all, we've talked a lot about Netflix and, you know, we're talking about Bridgerton and about all the good movies there, the history of swear words. the wonderful Fran Lebowitz with Martin Scorsese. But I want to talk about something that's not on Netflix, and this is on Amazon Prime. It's fantastic. It's about four really famous black heroes, and they gather together in one night in Miami. And this thing is terrific. You say, and we're talking about four amazing people. We're talking about what he was once, Cassius Clay. Now, of course, we know him as Muhammad Ali. So he's one. Sam Cooke is one. Malcolm X. And then we've got Brown, you know, the Jim Brown. And they're all gathered together in one hotel room. It is just great.
Yeah, and I saw that that was directed by Regina King, who we know as
right.
Jerry Maguire in so many movies. And is that a natural progression for, because you always hear about actors who want to direct. Is that just a natural
right.
progression?
Well, you know, I've been in the Directors Guild of America since 1977. And through the magazine there to members, we sell these little onesies. And it says, but what I really want to do is direct. I mean, people, it's so cute. I've bought them before. I mean, I'm telling you, as gifts, you know, directing, most people want to try directing. Some people try it and don't like it. Some people try it and do it forever. So, you know, but this thing is so great. It happens at Miami's Hampton House Motel, and it's right after Cassius Clay's defeat of Sonny Liston. And it's these four men who get together to celebrate. And so you've got Sam Cooke and James Brown Jim Brown, and then Malcolm X. And Malcolm wants to know how they, as black celebrities, could bring about social and political change and be hip and help the community and all these things. And so it just gets into all of their personalities. People who like sports will like it. People who love Sam Cooke and his voice will love it. It is just something, it's fictional, but it's very stimulating. One Night in Miami.
There it is from Jan Wall. Jan, thanks again for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great week.
What a great show, Rick.
Thanks so much because of you, Jan.
Because of Darren, too.
All right, we'll see you next week. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back. We got two more.